You should be able to, if all else changes in the home, once again, if dad is not there, if dad has dropped the ball, then you ought to be able to see in the mother some wisdom that can be imparted to the children. Because as it said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This.
I'm going to ask that you would open your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, there's two verses that we want to look at today. One is in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, the first chapter of the book of Proverbs, and then we'll go to the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law or the teaching of thy mother." Don't forsake the teaching of your mother. Then look at Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 1. It says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." We read in verse 1 or chapter 1 that God instructs children to not forget the teaching of their mother, to always remember what their mothers have taught them. And then it's interesting, in chapter 31, we read about an individual whose name is King Lemuel, and it says that he actually recorded that his mother's words impacted him so much that he recorded them in Proverbs 31. So here was an individual whose mother's words moved him. And as we come today, I want to speak to you on a subject that I think is relevant and important today, and that is the wisdom of mothers. The fact that God has called mothers to have wisdom. The godly wisdom of a mother. And you know, if you think about, there's a song that was out many years ago, and it said, "Mama said that there would be days like this." And when you think about what this individual was saying, he or she, you know, they were saying that their mother, watch this, that their mother had prepared them for every day they would encounter. Wow. Mama said there'd be days like this. Mothers have a lot of wisdom. As I think about the wisdom that mothers have, and I've shared this several years ago on a Mother's Day message, but you think about the message, the wisdom that mothers have, you realize that your mother taught you religion. She said, "You better pray that the carpet, the stain comes out of that carpet." Your mother taught you logic. Why? Because I say so, that's why. Your mother taught you reason. Boy, I'm gonna give you something to cry about. Your mother taught you the circle of life. I brought you in the world, and I can take you out. Your mother taught you anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. And your mother also, even though she might not have ever got on a spaceship, she taught you futuristic time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. So we learn a lot from our mothers. Our mothers have a lot to offer. One young man who was
seeking out a mate in life and a little bit desirous to maybe get a wife or get a girlfriend, whatever the case might be, came up with these words and said that he has received some powerful wisdom from his mother. And the words of wisdom that came from his mother, she said, just because you've become a young man now, there's some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for her hand now, keep your freedom as long as you can now. My mama told me. Somebody help me. All right. You better shop around. The wisdom of a mother. You know, and as I think about our society today, and, you know, I just want to say that, you know, I praise God for fathers and godly fathers. And, you know, as I am here in this community throughout the week, most of the individuals I see walking up and down the street are females, and many of them are pushing strollers and carrying, holding by the hand, babies as they walk up and down the street of this community. And every now and then, every now and then, I'll see a young brother or man walking up and down the street with some kids. And it just thrills my heart because I know that that's something that's unusual. That's not the usual. That's out of the that's out of the ordinary. But we see that mothers are the backbone of our homes. Mothers are the backbone of our society. And when mothers are not imparting wisdom unto the children, that makes our society weaker. And so as we think about it, we need mothers. And like I said, you know, we need fathers, and we praise God for fathers, and we just want to say, you know, fathers that are doing what they're supposed to do, praise God for you. But long after the fathers have dropped the ball, and long after the fathers have abducted their responsibility, the mothers hang in there, and the mothers are consistent, and the mothers are faithful. You know, one thing that I think is very unfair, and that is especially when two people conceive a child out of wedlock, how that is just, it seems to be easier for the brother just to walk away from it. You know, he can just walk away from it, but the mother is still there. She can't walk away. And the mother is still there to deal with the child and to raise the child. And so as this is the case, you know, we thank God for ladies who have godly wisdom. There's a verse in Psalm chapter 11, if you'll turn there real quick. Psalm 11. Psalm 11. And in Psalm 11, verse 3, it says this: if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation in the home, if the foundation of the family, if the foundation of that which is the backbone of society, if the foundation be destroyed, then where are we at? What can we do if the foundation be destroyed? If mothers stop giving wisdom in the home, that's a part of the foundation. You should be able to, if all else changes in the home, once again, if dad is not there, if dad has dropped the ball, then you ought to be able to see in the mother some wisdom that can be imparted to the children. Because as it said, that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And mothers are so close to their sons and to their daughters. And just the opportunity to influence them and to impart that wisdom on in them is essential and vital in our communities today. And if that foundation, that we know that, and I hate to be redundant, but we know that the foundation of the father has been shaken. But if the foundation of the mother, being in the home, being a solid part of that foundation, if that has been destroyed, we have no chance. We have absolutely no chance at all. So that shows us how important mothers are in our society. As we think about the ways that a mother can impart wisdom upon and in their children, I think of three Hebrew words that I want to share with you. And as I think of these three Hebrew words, these are three different ways in which a mother, grandmother, whatever the case might be, and dad, once again, I might be speaking directly to the mothers, but you can learn something from this too. And you can impart, you can drop some wisdom on your sons and daughters, or as somebody said, you can drop some edumacation on them. So as we think about the proverbial wisdom of a mother, the first word is the word chokmah. And this word talks about the ability to apply biblical knowledge to everyday situations. That you as a mother have an awesome responsibility to be in the Word of God. It's your responsibility to be in God's Word and to understand God's Word. And as you understand the Word of God, then you can give it to your children so that they have life to be able to deal with situations that come up every day in life. I believe a part of the problem that we have is that we don't have a lot of people that's imparting biblical wisdom and teaching children how to live the Bible out in everyday situation. You know, we, as I said here a couple of weeks ago, we will spend much time running to, and again, I did it, so you know, I'm pointing to myself too. You know, running our kids to football and basketball and soccer and choir and the mooses and the gooses and all this other kind of stuff. And yet and still, we won't take the time to understand the Word of God and then be able to put it in such a way. You know the skillful person? You know what the skillful person can do? The skillful person can tell you how to apply a biblical principle to a situation without them ever really quoting the Bible. Boy, that's deep right there. That you can teach your children how to apply the Bible to everyday life without quoting chapter or verse. And so it becomes important for you to be in the Word of God. Because as you are in the Word of God, then there are situations in life that you can teach your children. I shared this testimony before, but I remember when we first came here to Bethany over 20 years ago. And I remember we came to a Wednesday night program. My sons, Daniel and Jonathan, they were here on a Wednesday night, and they didn't have the name brand shoes that a lot of other young people had. And so they started making fun of their shoes. And I remember we got in the car that night and we were going home. And man, they were both angry. They were upset that, you know, somebody was making fun of their shoes. And my one son, John, you know, he rambunctious, man. He said, well, come on, Dan, let's go beat them up, man. I said, no, man, you can't do that. So, you know what? Here goes a teachable moment. Here's a time for you to impart some biblical knowledge on your child that's dealing with this real situation. And see, that's the problem that we have, is that we've got too many young people out here that don't know how to deal with situations young in life. And so as they grow up and then they run into a situation that they can't handle, the first thing they do is go get a gun and shoot somebody because they never learned how to handle it when they were young. They never had somebody that was teaching them how to apply biblical knowledge to everyday life. And that becomes so important. And that's why a mother becomes so essential. Now, once again, this is the father's job too, all right? And so we're not letting dad off the hook either. But, you know, like I said, this is Mother's Day, so we're trying to drop a word of encouragement and wisdom on the mothers. But so you've got to apply everyday not biblical knowledge to everyday situation. And again, you could be a auntie or an uncle. You know, maybe you don't have children, but you know, maybe you have opportunity to come into the lives of children, and you would have opportunity to drop that wisdom on them. Chokmah, Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. The next type of wisdom is what's called Musar. And this is the wisdom, and I know people don't like to hear this right here, but this is the type of wisdom that's obtained through discipline, chastisement, or correction. Now, you'll notice one word that's not up there. There's one word that's not up there, and that is the word punishment. The word punishment is not up there. I think that this is where we get into problems in our homes, especially when people get on TV and they talk about disciplining their children, and they talk about it in such a way where people think that they're crazy, they think they're cute kooks, they think they're abusive, and that type of thing. And the chances are, is the reason that they probably think that way is because they don't have the proper aspect and the proper perspective on what it's about. It's not about punishment. I'm going to put you on punishment. No, it's not about punishment. You should say, I'm going to put you on correction. I'm going to put you on discipline. I'm trying to get you straight. It's just like if a child goes up and touches a hot stove, then what are you going to do? Punish the child because they touched the hot stove and burned their hand? Are you going to punish them? No, it's getting mighty quiet in here. Can I get an amen, Brother Andy, can I get an amen? Thank you, bro. Thank you, man. All right. I appreciate that, man. It got quiet all of a sudden, man. I thought we was at a cemetery or somewhere. All right. Amen. But you know, this thing is all about correction. And it's about, you know, if that child touches that hot stove, then you want to try to correct them. And you need to come up with ways so that they won't touch the stove again and burn their hands. And so this is the type of wisdom that needs to be exercised in the home. Teaching how to correct bad behaviors. Teaching how to discipline in order to bring about a righteousness in the heart of a child. Look at, I wasn't going to use this verse this morning, but let's all go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It says here in verse 6, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he received. If you endure chastening or disciplining or correction, God dealeth with you as sons. He is the father he is the father that chasteneth not. But if you are without chastisement, which of all partakers, all right, then we're going to be nice. We're not going to say the word this morning. You are illegitimate children and not sons. All right, let me see. Okay, don't want to draw attention to the word. Somebody say, Pastor Glaze, using profanity in the pulpit. We don't want to have that right there. All right. Furthermore, we have had fathers who corrected us, fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we much more rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Look at verse 10. For verily, for a few days, they chastened us after their own pleasure, but for our profit, that we might be partakers in holiness. So what is the objective whenever God disciplines us? What is the objective? The objective is that we might be more holy. That's why God disciplines us, so that we would become more holy. Well, why do we discipline our children? We discipline our children so that they might become more righteous, so that they might be instructed in the right way and do the right thing. Now, I like what he says in the next verse. He says, for no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, watch this, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised. So the objective here as a wise parent is that you discipline for an outcome, and that outcome is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So when a child is disciplined and the parent says, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, and the child says, right, then why don't you take it and whoop your own self? The child can say, and see, children know, because what does it say here? It says that no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. And if that child, if that parent loves that child, now once again, you know, the discipline comes in many forms, so I'm not just talking about, it comes in many forms. Whatever form you God has convicted you, because I know at Bethany, we have the gamut. All right, we run the gamut. So whatever God has instructed you, then that's the way you do it, okay? Because that could be a situation. I mean, I could preach a whole sermon on that right there, all right? So whatever way God has instructed you, that's the way you do it. And then as you do it realizing that the ultimate outcome is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So as a godly mother, trying to drop wisdom on our children, we see there's chokmah, we see that there is musar, and then we see third that there is the Hebrew word bina, which is the ability to sort out the good from the bad, the right from the wrong, and the true from the false. See, you know, we want to raise our kids, and then we just want to turn them loose into the world and not really teach them. And you know what this is called right here? Plain and simple, this is called discernment. That's all it's called. You want to teach your child how to become discerning so that they know when they are confronted with choices and they are confronted with a bad choice and a good choice, that we pray to God that they would choose the good. Even though that's not always the case, we pray that they would choose the good. But at least they have been instructed, that there has been a procedure that has been implemented in the home to teach this child the difference between good and bad, right and wrong, true and false. That somebody has said, look, this is what's good right here, and this is bad. And then maybe even to put some exercises to give the child the opportunity to choose the things that are good and refuse the things that are bad. So this is proverbial wisdom for mothers. That you can look at this right here and you can, this is your job description right here as a mother. Now again, you know, we do all these other things, right? Run them to the hospital, run them to sports, and run them to choir, and we do all that, which is good, all right? But This is your main, the father too. Now again, I keep saying that, you know, we hope that the fathers are not just letting this slide over their head, all right? But we're talking to mothers today. That you would have this job.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.